The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul?
What's up, Paul?
Most interactive show, and really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well. DeMeco Ryans aced his press conference yesterday, and I am battle red drunk. Still, it's going to be hard to shake all of this off. We are in a honeymoon phase right now, people, and it is okay to be excited, to need a cold shower at every single moment. That's where we're at. Who knows what DeMeco Ryans is actually going to be as the head coach, but you should be excited after what you saw yesterday. The Texans put on a show. They've been putting on, I think, rather stupendous shows over the last month, and I do feel like they're taking baby steps in the right direction. But what they do in the draft is going to determine a lot more than obviously what we saw in a press conference. DeMeco Ryans clearly got the job by billing himself as a great teacher to Cal McNair, to Nick Caserio. So one of the things that we've been doing over the course of this Friday, got to get down on Friday fun show, your favorite fictional teachers. Robin Williams in Dead Poets Society. I've never seen Dead Poets Society. I am assuming that Robin Williams played Robin Williams. The only movie where Robin Williams isn't Robin Williams is probably Good Will Hunting, where he's, I think, a lot more
restrained.
Buttoned up. Yes, yeah. Restrained, Sean. Yes.
There's really like the one story where he's talking about, was it Carlton Fisk's home run? Missing that game?
That's even that, though, like he's
that is pretty dialed in.
He's very buttoned up in that, yeah. But everything else, like he's the genie in like Aladdin.
Yeah,
no, had a friend like me.
He's a little bit like Good Will Hunting, but he's also a little bit Robin Williams as a poetry teacher.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Mr. Hand from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Now I forget how the conflict between Spicoli, played by Sean Penn, and Mr. Hand ended. Because I'll be honest, like, there are some elements of that movie that are somewhat distracting. Phoebe Cates. But also the really terrible subplot featuring the really, like, old-seeming creepy guy, the movie theater, like, nerd worker, and that one girl who's just, like, you know, trying to get her rocks off. That subplot is distracting. But the good subplot is the one between Spicoli and Mr. Hand. And I actually have no idea how that one ended. So if someone can help me out with that, that would be great.
I cannot help you.
Yeah, I honestly forget. I feel like they shook hands at the end of the movie. But then Mr. Hand found out Spicoli did something and said, Spicoli! Like, I could be wrong, though. I do not remember how their conflict ended. I don't know who won. I did think they came to an understanding, though. Okay. Another comment. This has to do with our last segment. Nick Caserio, DeMeco Ryans, what's that relationship going to be like? Todd the Show says on twitch.tv/ESPN975, Nick Caserio is super sad right now. DeMeco actually sounds like a draft expert. I mean, that was one of the other takeaways I had from yesterday. DeMeco Ryans seems like someone who was involved in that side of things in the past. That's good. That's very, very good. I want a guy who is, he brought up diversity in the press conference yesterday. I want a guy who is diverse in his knowledge, a guy who is diverse in his skill sets. DeMeco Ryans was asked yesterday about the quarterback position for the Houston Texans, which is a thing that everybody is looking at right now. Here's what he had to say.
We understand we have one quarterback here on our roster, and we have to add more at that position. And we know everybody gets excited about the quarterback. The quarterback is one piece to a team. As I've seen in San Francisco, right, what happens when you don't have that one guy? Is the season over? Are you just booking it? And no. How do you build around, right? Build around that quarterback. Yes, we want a great quarterback, but no, we need a great offensive line to protect the quarterback. We need great running backs, great tight ends, great receivers. We need a great defense, special teams. We all play together. And that's the awesome part about football is it's not on one guy's shoulder to go out there and win the game for us. So it's all about building around, right, each other, right, and playing together. That's how we'll win games.
That was a nothing burger. That was 100% a nothing burger. And he gave you a couple. Like, he didn't want to answer that question. And look, the Texans do have to keep a poker face right now and pretend that they're not going to draft a quarterback. They do. They have to. Because that does affect, hey, what the Indianapolis Colts might do. And remember, they are a crazy, overreactive franchise that's being run by a man who's dealt with a pill addiction in the past. Not to say that that's a bad thing. People deal with addiction. Some people beat addiction. But let's not try to argue against the idea that Jim Irsay is unhinged often. Maybe not currently, but often.
He can be impulsive.
Yes, Sean. That's a good way to describe it. Polite, fair. So they're going to play things close to the vest, as they always do with Nick Caserio and his vest. Look, I don't know what they're going to do. Largobot says it would have been really funny if D'Amico Ryans said, we're going to draft linebackers rounds 1 through 7. To be perfectly honest, I wouldn't hate that because their linebackers are not good other than Christian Harris. They're not good.
Yeah, if he could make one of those guys Fred Warner, that'd be awesome.
Oh, that would be great. I do feel pretty good. If I'm Christian Harris, I'm feeling great right now. Like, I have an awesome coach that is coming in here to potentially coach me up.
He's probably like, I'm going to make the Pro Bowl next year.
Mm-hmm. Ryans is also right in that you do need to have a great supporting cast around your quarterback. And I know not everyone wants to hear it. And it's going to be really funny to see just the up and down kind of energy that Houston sports media has if they go from, oh my God, we didn't get the number one overall pick. Bleep you, Nick Caserio. Even though it was like Lovie Smith who finally won a game at the end of the year. And then they go from that to, D'Amico Ryans is Jesus Christ himself. Huzzah! And then they go back to the draft and they like take a defensive lineman or an offensive lineman with the second overall pick. They'll be like, I'm going to kill myself now. Why won't this team listen to me? Like, that's where we're at. You guys are up and down. Some people have been consistent, like me. Noted Texans honk, sipping his Battle Red Kool-Aid with little, you know what, sprinkled in it. Mr. Battle Red himself has been pretty level throughout all of this, has he not?
There was a game where you had to take a lap around the stadium.
Well, yeah, I mean, I wanted to die.
You weren't.
Texans, Titans, I wanted to die.
That was a little bit of a dip, I'd say.
Yeah, that was off. I mean, during the regular season, I got to a point where I was like, thank God the Astros are playing because I'm just not going to talk about these guys. And it was great. I never thought that I could actually do a radio show where I don't talk about football. But for a whole month, how about that? That was great. But now all of a sudden, guys, I feel like I'm back at the flagship. It's football time in Houston, and we're ready to play.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Kool-Aid Man. Jeff has a thought about the best teachers. 713-780-3776. Best fictional teachers. Because D'Amico Ryans did bill himself as being a great teacher. Here is Jeff.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Doing well. How about you?
So, Mr. Hand, the
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Spicoli. Yep, Fast Times. So he goes to Spicoli's house and gives him the final exam oral. You know, it's like an oral test. He asks some questions.
Oral test. Okay. Oh, okay. He asks some questions. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and so Mr. Hand was My Favorite Martian.
Really? I've never seen My Favorite Martian. Yeah. I'm assuming he was in a bunch of other movies because it seems like he was one of those older statesman actors that you would love to have as a sort of like cameo appearance or a small minor supporting role in a movie like this. That is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Were they on good terms at the very end? Because he came over to tutor him. Like, didn't he crash his car or something, though? Like, I feel like something bad happened.
No, he ordered pizza and had pizza delivered to the classroom.
Oh, okay.
And Hand made him share it with everyone.
Oh, all right. How about that? It was a nice ending.
Great movie.
It is a great movie. I need to watch it again.
Thanks, man.
Hey, thanks for the call, Jeff. I need to watch that movie again. Aloha, Spicoli. Aloha, Mr. Hand. A couple of people texting in. It's pretty funny. People are big fans of Mr. Hand. Mr. Hand went to his house in person on prom night, as Jeff said, and made him learn history. Mutual respect was earned. You don't need to make someone learn history, though. From the 409, Coach Carter and Sean Porter. What is that from, like Gridiron Gang? Have to be two of the best life educators, right? I guess those movies all became the exact same after a while, didn't they? I mean, you had to Remember the Titans first, and that one at the very least has like the tension of, hey, it's the 60s, race relations are not great, we're in the South. I feel like, though, like there were too many movies that were pretty much the exact same thing over and over again. You had Gridiron Gang. You had Coach Carter. Not to say those were bad movies. I feel like we've gotten to a point, though, with sports movies where they're generally all about the same. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. what are the best fictional teachers out there? You get to answer that. Plus, it's another episode of Keep That Same Energy. Perhaps the biggest Astros enemy of the state has not surrendered despite being vanquished last season. Also, there's another set of rankings out that job the Astros. So, little Astros talk plus you on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Locked in with the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
Your boys battle red drunk on the D'Amico Ryans press conference yesterday and on the hiring of D'Amico Ryans earlier this week. I have worn not once but twice this week my Houston Texans starter jacket, and I've done it unironically. I'm pumped about what we saw from D'Amico Ryans yesterday and also the presentation that the Houston Texans put on. The thing that excited me most is him talking about what they're looking for in assistant coaches, guys who don't have egos, guys who aren't energy vampires. That was not a shot at the last two coaches of the Texans, Lovie Smith and David Culley, but let's be honest. They were energy vampires, regardless of their qualifications as a head coach. They seemed to be very different from a personality perspective, but I think D'Amico Ryans was able to get this job based off of what we heard in the press conference because he was really good at selling Cal McNair and Nick Caserio on the fact that the guy knows how to teach young football players how to play not just football, but a game called life. Got a chuckle at Sean for that one. 713-780-3776. Who are your favorite fictional teachers? We got Austin. Austin, what's up?
Hey, so I don't know if it's already been said, but Mr. Feeney from Boy Meets World, I thought he was a great teacher.
Mr. Feeney is
all those times when it was Corey and Sean messing up.
Right. Mr. Feeney is essentially like a secondary father figure, being the next door neighbor of Corey and vicariously Sean, who has not exactly the best home life and seems to essentially be living with Corey half of the time. Yeah, Mr. Feeney did a good job. It is kind of weird living next door to your teacher. I'm not going to lie, too. I had a pretty weird, as far as teacher experience growing up. Sean, you went to Catholic school for a little bit, right?
My whole life until college.
Your whole life until college. Yeah. Okay. So were your teachers like nuns?
No, I never had a nun. I did have, I think, one or two priests.
Okay. Interesting. All of my teachers in elementary school when I was going to Catholic school were like older women. And you would have them, like, for every single class. And it was very strange to go from having one teacher all day to having, like, many teachers all over the course of the days. And I found, like, the latter is so much better. I feel like you should have a teacher, like, teach one class and not an entire class for an entire day. You know? Like, get a little change of pace, a little variance so that you're going up and down and, you know, exploring on a different path and such.
Especially because I feel like I didn't know you as when you're a child, but it feels like your vibe, your personality for 8 hours would be a bit much for any teacher.
Believe it or not, I used to be very attentive in class, and I shut up, and I didn't ever question things. The problem was I would get in trouble because I was a temperamental little bastard, and I used to, like, do violence on people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I would get in fights all the time. I would, like, straight A student, but, like, regularly doing dumb things because I was so quick on the trigger.
Did you have a teacher that, like, helped you get out, like Michelle Pfeiffer in
No.
Dangerous Minds?
No, I didn't. I honestly didn't. I will say that the middle school I went to, they were really supportive when my parents were going through the divorce because I think everyone sort of realized, oh, he's been crazy this whole year because his parents are going through a divorce. That makes sense. They all, like, kind of, like, were, and I just, that sort of is what changed me. And then I started to be weird and, you know, project all sorts of, you know, macho energy and happiness and excitement and energy because I'm dead inside.
And that's the Paul we get now.
Yeah.
Woo!
I'm dead inside. Thanks, parents. 713-780-3776. I actually love you guys. if you're listening right now. Hey, it's Pena. Pena, what's up?
Hey, good morning, Paul.
Yo.
Brunch, whatever. So I'm going to get real nerdy on y'all.
Do
sorry,
it.
Sorry, listeners.
Hit me.
But Yoda from Star Wars and...
Pena, that was the first one I was going to bring up. I can't believe I didn't bring up Yoda yet. Continue.
Hey, I got another one. Jiraiya Sensei from the show Naruto. It's an anime. Thank y'all. Have a great weekend.
Okay. The last one, that's where you get a little bit nerdy.
I was thinking Yoda. That when RJ asked me, because he saw your tweet, he asked me, and Yoda was the first
good
person.
English I do not speak.
Yeah.
Powerful with the Force, you
but
are.
His coaching tree is pretty strong.
Well.
You get Obi-Wan. You get Luke.
People forget with Yoda, like, oh, the Jedi, they have this amazing, you know, sense of the Force. They couldn't sense that, like a douche senator was also the Lord of the Sith. Like, good job, dumbasses. The Jedi, like, totally screwed that up.
Yes.
They totally screwed that up.
They blew a 28-3 lead.
Seriously, they had, like, hundreds of Jedis, and there was just Palpatine and Anakin. That's it. And they lost. And they had, obviously, the army eventually, but it's a pretty massive bleep up. So I think Yoda really taught us more by sucking at,
but
you
he
know,
did redeem himself.
Did he? He died.
He trained Luke.
Did he train Luke well? Because Luke technically lost.
Nah.
There is that little stretch where Luke
wins. He didn't kill the Emperor.
He should have killed the... I don't get why he didn't kill the Emperor.
Because then the Emperor would have won.
Not really, because the Emperor would be dead.
Yeah, because he would have... Do it.
Yeah, but the Emperor wouldn't have allowed himself to die. I don't know. Anyway, we don't want to go too far down the Star Wars rabbit hole. Yeah, thanks, Pena, for bringing that up.
Nerd.
See, that's honestly the reason I didn't bring it up. Probably because I knew, oh man, this will be the whole show. We won't even talk about D'Amico Ryans, great teacher that he is. So that's on the table, fictional teachers. Also, I want to shift into talking about the Houston Astros. We spent a lot of time talking about the D'Amico Ryans press conference, and I'm sure some of you guys are annoyed by it. Oh, it's just a press conference, Paul. Why are you so excited? Because I'm a bubbly personality. That's why. I'm not projecting at all. I'm not dead inside. Wow, it's getting a little bit dark, this segment. Let's shift into one of our favorite recurring segments. Keep that same energy.
Have you even slightly insulted the Houston Astros today?
If you don't know the facts, then you gotta shut the
We'll hunt you down, mother.
They are for Houston. They got Houston.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
We're keeping that same energy.
Now witness the firepower of this battle station.
You may fire when ready.
Alvarez. Entrance out. Drive center field.
Probably heard that and you're like, Paul, didn't you say we're not going to talk Star Wars anymore? Only to hear 4 Star Wars sound effects. Whatever, dude. Get cultured. Watch Star Wars. Anyway, Scott Service is the manager of the Seattle Mariners. And at a media luncheon that the team had, I think it was on Wednesday, had this to say about Seattle's chances to compete with the Houston Astros.
Well, the last time I checked, we played them 3 really good games. We're probably 1 swing of the bat away from winning all 3 of those games. They go on to win the World Series. They're a really good team, and they're not going anywhere. We're a really good team. We're not going anywhere. So I say that, and our division's gotten better. We're not the only team that's gotten better.
I want to jump down his throat because they did lose that series. But he's not wrong. I mean, all 3 of those games were very close. The 3rd game was 18 innings. I mean, technically, that's 2 games. And the Astros didn't get a run until the 18th inning with that Jeremy Pena home run. Game 1, they were trailing until Yordan hit that walk-off. They definitely screwed up their handling of that situation. And then, of course, Game 2 was a little bit more decisive. But that one was never really a certain thing for them. I want to jump down Service's throat, but I really do think that the Mariners are the biggest threat to the Astros in the American League. Yes, I'm a little bit biased having covered the team recently, but, I mean, don't you look at them more than you look at the New York Yankees as a threat? I know the Yankees added Carlos Rodon, but the Mariners added Teoscar Hernandez this offseason. If I got to pick between the two, you're going to play the Mariners more. They're getting more and more confident against you, where the Yankees are... essentially like just terrified whenever they play you. I think they are the number one threat, and I'm not going to lie. I respect Service saying, look, the games were close. Yeah, we feel pretty good about ourselves.
Nah, loser talk.
Loser talk.
He lost all those games.
They did lose them.
Saying that each game we were one swing away is like, so you're three swings away. And even then, the last game, you're actually two swings away because you need the Jeremy Pena swing not to happen and then an actual Mariner to score a run at some point in that game.
That is fair, Sean.
They went two games without scoring a run.
I mean, they didn't blame...
And they finished 16 games behind the Astros in the regular season.
They didn't blame the roof.
They should have. They should have blamed the...
They weren't the Yankees blaming the roof.
They should have blamed the smoke.
They weren't... who is it? Luis Severino saying, well, the exit velocity on their Judge home run versus
Luis
the Bregman home run.
Luis Severino had a great point about that. Exit velocity, though.
I feel like what Service said there... Yeah, you're right, Sean, in that there is... I'm not keeping the same energy here.
You're
the
one keeping you're not energy. Keeping that same energy.
Well, fine. How about this one? So, MLB Network put out another rankings. This time, it's the top catchers in baseball. Want to read through them? Once again, whenever I read these, I'm like, who are these people? God, I'm so bad at covering all of baseball as a whole. Sorry, some people have priorities. / don't want to watch a four-hour game with two teams they don't know about. JT Realmuto, number one. Number two, Will Smith, but not the Will Smith that the Astros traded for. Because that would have been nice. And I think they would have kept him.
Not the one that slapped Chris Rock. The third most famous Will Smith, at least.
Actually, he's probably the second most famous Will Smith because the one that the Astros got sucked.
Yeah, true.
Three, Adley Rutschman. That guy was in the Rookie of the Year conversation?
Yeah, there we go.
Four, Sean Murphy. Five, Wilson Contreras, who the Astros almost got this offseason. Six, Alejandro Kirk. Wait, what? Hang on, pause. Your last name's Kirk, your first name is Alejandro? Make up your mind. Seven, Travis d'Arnaud. Eight, Salvador Perez. I recognize him, he's on the Royals, right?
There we go. Baseball Paul.
Nine, Danny Jansen. 10, Tyler Stevenson. Excuse me, where is the defensive mastermind catcher known as Martin Maldonado? Did you see the way he finished the year? Yeah, the first month, second month, third month, fourth month, fifth month, sixth month. He wasn't great as a hitter, but... The latter stages of the sixth and seventh month, huh?
And do you see that pitching staff? That's Martin Maldonado.
Oh, that's true. Everyone talks about the Astros pitching staff, how deep they are. Actually, Martin Maldonado is the reason that they're all good. So he should at least be number one, if not, you know, number four.
Give me Alejandro Kirk's starter's ERA.
Yeah, yeah, I want to hear that.
Give me the bullpen ERA of Sean Murphy.
I also want to know the reasoning for Alejandro's name being Alejandro. Like, I feel like, what, is this like Hilaria Baldwin? Like clinging clinging to be like 25% Hispanic? I don't know.
Alejandro Kirk was born in Tijuana.
Oh, damn. Well, I mean, that's sort of like San Diego. I'm just kidding. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text into on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Who's the best fictional teacher? Plus, Jerry Jones had some funny comments making excuses for the Dallas Cowboys on this, the day of Battle Red Kool-Aid drinking. Paul Galacho, don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. Houston's most interactive and possibly radioactive sports talk show continues now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
D'Amico Ryans aced his press conference yesterday. Lots of things, I think, to get excited about if you are a Texans fan or you just follow football in Houston. It does seem like they are heading back in the right direction with this hire. But, of course, it's just a press conference. It's important to keep that in mind. I just think it was a hell of a show. And, yeah, I'm a little excited about it. Full disclosure, this isn't just a bit or anything like that. No, I'm pretty happy today about what I saw yesterday. A couple of things I think to take note of. The idea that this was D'Amico Ryan's dream job, that's not BS. It's clear. Just watching him at that press conference yesterday, seemingly taken by what a surreal moment it was for him. I mean, he played for this team, and all of a sudden he's coaching, and he's 39 years old. He was also asked by John McClain, legitimately, first question, well, did you think about that Denver Broncos job?
I'm thankful for the Denver Broncos, and we had great interviews there, great people there. But when it came down to it, there is no place I wanted to be any more than H-Town. So it was an easy pick for me. It was a no-brainer to be here. All right, be home. It was a no-brainer. So it wasn't a difficult decision at all. It was very easy.
There was some conflicting reporting on the very last moments of the hiring of D'Amico Ryans. And if these Denver Broncos tried to get back into the mix, they, of course, traded for Sean Payton. But Adam Schefter said they didn't. Adam Schefter is connected in Denver. That's where his career began. Ian Rappaport said that the Broncos, though, did try to get D'Amico Ryans at the last second. Some other people were going along with that line of thinking. I think right now the Broncos are trying their best to look their best, but I think if you're being objective right now, just based off of who got hired, was this not the most attractive job? And I know you probably think to yourself, no, no way. But forget about the fact that the Texans are bad and have been a joke for a couple of years. They got the guy that they wanted. This guy wanted to be here, and while there might be some bias involved from the fact that he played here from 2006 through 2011, there's certainly an element of this job being the most attractive to him as well, as opposed to Denver, or as opposed to Carolina, or as opposed to Indianapolis, or maybe as opposed to the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals still do not have a head coach. And honestly, we're at the point right now where we're wondering, wait a second, like who's going to take this job? There was a report that came out about why it's been taking so long for Arizona. And I guess from what people are hearing in Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl, it's because Kyler Murray is the worst. And because, not because he has a say in the matter, it's because no one wants to deal with Kyler Murray. No one even wants to deal with the say. Like, no one wants to even broach the conversation. I guess Aaron Glenn's doing an interview with him. Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions. Many of the desired candidates don't want to take the job knowing they'll be tied to the hip of Kyler Murray for the next 4 years. Murray signed a 5-year, $230 million contract in late August, and anyone who takes the Cardinals job will have no options in the foreseeable future at quarterback. The Cardinals are in a really bad spot. Like, I mean, and they created this mess themselves. They did not need to do any of the extensions they did this past offseason. They did not. And there was no reason to believe that things would be any different than they were when they got their asses kicked by the Rams on Monday Night Football in the opening round of last year's playoffs. Like, this was obvious to everybody with a brain. And yet, they extended all of them, and now they're stuck with Murray, and they just blew out Steve Keim and the general manager and Cliff Kingsbury, the unqualified head coach who they voluntarily hired. So now, okay, well, what happens next for the Cardinals? Who knows, but it's a bad job. And it's really funny to hear some people in sports radio in Arizona try to talk their way through it. I don't know what this guy's name is off the top of my head, but I think he works at Fox Sports 910 in Arizona. And this guy has the ultimate spin zone about, like, hey, oh, you don't want us? Well, we don't want you.
Here's my message to any coaching candidate that doesn't want the job because of Kyler Murray.
Like sabotage.
We don't want you. If you don't want the job because you think Kyler Murray's too much of a challenge, we don't want you. You don't want a challenge? You want something that's going to be easy? You think just because a player is unique, because a player has some challenges, that it's not worth your time to make millions of dollars a year and have the responsibility and the dream of being one of 32 NFL coaches? If you show up to the Cardinals interview and you're like, hey, I love Phoenix. Man, I think this franchise has so much potential and draft capital. And, oh, man, Monty Austenfor, what a great guy. But, Kyler, can we do something about that? We don't want you. We don't want you. It's not that we don't understand that Kyler Murray doesn't come with his own unique challenges. He does. You're going to have to undo 4 years of bad coaching. You're going to have to undo 4 years of coddling. If you don't walk into Phoenix embracing the challenge of getting the most out of Kyler Murray, we do not want you.
It's really funny.
That's Jody Oehler, I believe.
Jody Oehler. Listen, got a good delivery, some coward vibes here, but also some extreme fanboy vibes here, too. And I love that they played Sabotage by the Beastie Boys in the background, because it does. Like, if you're a diehard Cardinals fan, you're like, yeah! But ultimately, what he sounds like here is like, oh, you don't want to come over to my house? The house that's in the worst part of town? By the way, it's not a house. It's a trailer. Oh, yeah. And, like, there's cockroaches everywhere. And also, like, my mom lives there, and she doesn't wear clothes when she walks around the house. And on top of that, like, my dad's there, and he's constantly making moves on my mom in front of me. You don't want to come here? Oh, yeah, well, we don't want you in my trailer in the bad part of town, overrun by cockroaches with naked parents fornicating. We don't want you. Like, it's ultimate spin zone. I love it. We don't want you. It's the worst job there is. It is. It's the worst job of all the ones out there. Yeah, let's play some Beastie Boys Sabotage. Yeah! Can't stand it!
If you don't want to sit here and wait for Deshaun Watson's litigation to be settled, we don't want you.
That's what we were doing last time.
If you don't want to coach Davis Mills and deal with Jack Easterby, we don't want you.
Yeah! You don't want to come to town and work for Cal McNair? You don't want to work for that mustache? What's wrong with you? We don't want you. You don't want to... You want to have the worst cap situation in the NFL? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you wanted a challenge, coward.
You don't want to be saddled with giving 15 carries to Rex Burkhead every game? We don't want you.
Great job. Sean Mapes, I got to say, it's been a pretty damn good show by you, sir. Pretty damn good show by you. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sean Mapes. That's Sean A. Mapes behind the glass. All right, guys. We're going to wrap up the show with, you want to continue to feel good about the Texans? Look, I know. I could squeeze all of the juices out of that DeMeco Ryan's press conference. That sounded a little bit graphic. Sorry about that. We've been doing that all show long. But it is fun to also just sit back and look at the other teams. Like, you get to feel good about the Texans at least for the next couple of weeks, until the draft, where they ultimately don't take a quarterback that you want and you all lose your minds again because you're all just fickle folks. Jerry Jones is hysterical. What did Jerry Jones have to say about the Dallas Cowboys once again not making it to the NFC Championship game? This is all-time spin zone from Jera. You'll hear it next before garbage time. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show with Paul Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring Paul Gallant alongside special guest Paul Gallant. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
But also Sean Mapes, who has been on fire today. Texter 713-780-3776. I prefer Sean. Can you swap positions? That's actually a great idea. I think we're going to do that this summer at some point. On a really slow day... If you don't know, back at the flagship station, I first got my start by doing weekend shows, but I also was running the board from time to time. I'm not sure I was very good at it. I know every now and then I would have people like say, hey, can you pull this clip of audio and censor it? And I'd be like, sure. Then I'd play it and it wouldn't be censored. But hey, I think that could be fun, Sean. Like, you open up the show and I'm just going to play like all sorts of drops in the background, like the Seinfeld music. But boom, 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 boom.
Oh, yeah. I better not teach you how to play stuff off of YouTube on here. And then that would just be the entire show. So you're just playing YouTube videos
pretty
off
much.
This computer.
Yeah, pretty much. I'll just, like, play drops the entire time. And, like, Sean's like...
Just play full scenes off of Breaking Bad. Just be like, man, when Tuco was on his game.
Yeah, like... Me with the ADD I have behind the glass would be terrible. Like, Sean will lay out a more profound take than anything I've ever said, and I'll just be, like, playing, like, I am the Senate, like Emperor Palpatine in Star Wars or something.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah. You know what, though? We need to make the Kool-Aid Man thing. We are high. Wait, no, we're drunk. It's illegal to be high. We are drunk off of Battle Red Kool-Aid, guys, okay? Maybe there's a little lean in said, foam cup that we got of our Battle Red Kool-Aid. Maybe it's a little like jungle juice. You ever have jungle juice, Sean? Is that thing, is that something that people still do?
It was waning, but I also wasn't in a fraternity or anything. So maybe it was still alive and well in those circles.
The first time I had jungle juice, I had the worst headache of my life, and I can't even imagine what I would have headache-wise if I drank jungle juice at age 33. Because this is at like age 19. 18 years old.
Were they not serving jungle juice? Was Cal not there with a big ladle? Just
you know what? That would have been the funniest thing ever. Like
if they actually gave y'all Battle Red Kool-Aid
that
at
would
the
be
press
amazing.
Conference. If they just played into that.
Oh, listen.
I hope they're listening.
They are listening.
That whoever's listening, serve Kool-Aid at like the draft press conference or something.
Listen, Cal's cool now. I don't know if you saw the picture I posted on Twitter, Akalon says, of like announcing the show, but I pulled a Cal. Yeah, I threw up the H.
Yeah.
I threw up an H like Cal did. And it would be really funny if like Cal, like the next time that there's like a group event, like there's this big like Battle Red vat of jungle juice. And then Cal comes up and he looks to the side and he's got a wink and a smirk in his eye, a twinkle in his eye. And he pulls some cough syrup, like pharmaceutical grade cough syrup, and he's just like, oops, pours it into the vat of Kool-Aid.
What, twists his mustache as he does it? Oops, drops some wok.
Little Everclear in here. Oh, don't mind if I do. Oh, I would drink the hell out of that. Speaking of drinks, Jerry Jones is more of a Johnny Walker Blue guy. Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan. I like the peaty scotches from the islands of Scotland. That's what I like to drink. But anyway, Jerry's at the Senior Bowl and was asked a couple of questions. And, man, he's gotten into spin zone territory. I didn't think we'd get into this. It was, up until the loss to the 49ers, a pretty successful season, I think, for Dallas. But if you keep on ending it in the same way where there's mistakes, this time coming from Dak Prescott, what do you do to change things in the offseason? Jerry Jones has an all-time spin zone. First, he talked about how teams like the Eagles and Rams have pushed their chips all into the middle of the table to win a championship.
I'm reluctant, even though by nature I'm a wildcatter. Anybody that thinks I won't take a chance has misread the tea leaves, okay? But I do think longer term, and I'm real hesitant to bet it all for a year. And there's a lot of things that can happen for that year. In essence, we're seeing a couple of teams that have had some real success putting it all out there and paying for it later in Philadelphia and Los Angeles. Don't think that doesn't pop my head and get my eye as far as doing it, and I know how to do that. And it's a part of what you put in that computer and what comes out, and we'll see how it comes. But that's pretty impressive to have two teams in the last 2 years empty the bucket and get to the Super Bowl.
But you're draft and development.
But if you miss, it is a long go.
Look, I don't buy into the idea that the Eagles went all in here. I don't. The Rams, yes, they've said bleep them picks. But the Rams are also in an interesting situation where you can finagle the cap in a way if you actually are a franchise that has cash so you can pay all of those players. Ultimately, the salary cap is only a limit to teams that don't have a lot of money, you know? You can move things around, and if you are a team like the Rams, who are clearly loaded and are totally fine spending money, you can try to maintain this. Obviously, the big problem for them this year was Matt Stafford his body started falling apart. As far as the Eagles, though, like the Eagles have done a really good job drafting and building this team up over the years, and Howie Roseman deserves a lot of credit. I mean, they went from Doug Peterson to Nick Sirianni, and they're in two Super Bowls 5 years apart. Like, who would have thought that would be possible? Two different quarterbacks for both these Super Bowls, too.
I think I saw that there's only five players that were on the last Super Bowl team that are on this one 5 years.
The Super Bowl hero, Brandon Graham, who won mm-hmm. the Super Bowl. Fletcher Cox.
Yeah, Lane Johnson and...
Jason Kelsey.
And then there's someone else.
There's someone else, yeah.
Dallas Goedert, maybe.
Probably, yeah, that sounds
But yeah, it's also crazy that, yeah, the Rams, like, were very clear, like, F them picks.
Yep.
The Eagles have the 10th pick in the draft this year.
I know.
Like, if they really emptied the bucket, they could have gotten someone else.
Yeah, exactly. I don't buy Jerry saying that. Jerry also had this is a really bad comparison with another team that made it further in the playoffs and how actually, like, we're basically the same.
When you look back and say, well, San Francisco and Cowboys haven't been to a Super Bowl in 25 years, okay, and haven't won a Super Bowl in 25 years. Mm-hmm. I understand that. San Francisco's in the same boat. But my point is that has not been the same for 25 years. There's been many different things done over 25 years the same way there would have been had you changed out general managers or the same way that you do if you changed out owners.
I mean, he contradicted himself in the middle of that. We've been in the same place. They made it to a Super Bowl, dude. What are you talking about? They made it to conference championship games. You haven't. Like, what are you talking about, Jerry? And I think Jerry gets a bad rap from time to time, but, like, that is all-time spin zone saying, well, the Cowboys haven't won a Super Bowl in 25 years either. Yeah, yeah, they've been to multiple. They lost the one to the Ravens in, what, 2013? And they lost the one to the Chiefs a couple of years ago, and they were legitimately a goal line sequence away from potentially winning the first, and the latter, they were a slightly overthrown Jimmy Garoppolo pass away from winning the second. Stop with that, Jerry. Come on, man.
They also beat you like 2 weeks ago to make the NFC Championship game, yes. Something you haven't done in 27 years.
Like, every now and then, you know, you can tell Jerry's starting to lose his mental faculties a bit. But, like, man, that's like, the Eagles and Rams all listen to that. This 49ers spin zone. Dude, stop. Stop, man. You're embarrassing yourself with that one. Before we hit the road for a little garbage time, Tony Romo has apparently been given an intervention by CBS per Andrew Marchand of the Sports Business Journal. CBS claims, to call this an intervention is a complete mischaracterization. We meet regularly with our on-air talent. But Marchand reported that CBS executives reviewed tapes with Romo, went to dinner, and discussed the broadcast in an attempt to return him to the form that made him a media sensation in his first 3 years on the air, beginning in 2017. Man, he's been on the air for that long. And culminated in what was at the time the largest contract in sports casting history, a 10-year deal for a total of $180 million. Ooh, I don't know, Jim. Like that was Tony Romo. You don't even hear the Romo-gasms as much anymore. It's just a lot of uncertainty. And look, when he was connected to the game, you could understand why he would actually have a pretty good feel for what plays were being called, and he would predict some of the plays before they were called. I do think that got old rather quick. So if you don't have that anymore, what is it that Tony Romo brings to the table? You know, with Jim Nantz, you have the ultimate straight guy. Like, Jim Nantz is matter of fact, and will every now and then, like, will question something, but, like, you need to have a great color commentator by that guy's side. And I think Nantz really likes Tony Romo, but I think that CBS is right. Like, they need to do something about it. Shout out to Jim Nantz, by the way. Heard him on a podcast with Ryan Russillo. Sounds like a wonderful person. Paul Gallant Show, that wraps everything up. And I really appreciate everybody who was a part of the show this week. It was a fun week, huh? Texas got a new head coach. Seems like he's a good head coach. See what happens going forward. But big thanks to our texters. Big thanks to our callers. Big thanks to our tweeters. And man of the day to Sean Mapes behind the glass. Bravo, sir. Bravo. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace.
ESPN 97.5.